Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. This Saturday morning, we're going to be talking to Mary Esther Lockridge. Now, she is the widow of Billy Lockridge, who in his past was a teacher, a coach, a principal, and finally, mayor of Nicholasville. We'll discuss his life and all about that family right after this word from our sponsor, Sutherland Chevrolet.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. You know, it's funny how in this program, it has started to develop what I call a chain. Let me explain that to you. About a month ago, I had as my guest Leonard Fitch from Wilmore. And in the conversation, he mentioned a couple of fellas named the Moron Brothers. Well, about 2 weeks later, we had the Moron Brothers on our show. And in their conversation, they mentioned Coach Elmer Stevenson. Well, ironically, 2 weeks after that, we had Stevenson on, and she mentioned Billy Lockridge, and the chain goes on. So today I am with Mary Esther Lockridge, who is going to talk about her family and Billy and his family, and we're going to see how much longer we can make this chain go over the summer. But anyway, Mary Esther, thank you for joining me today. Appreciate you being here.
I'm glad to be here.
We'll get started by saying, first off, Billy, very well known in Jessamine County, and you too, because of you and your family's been here for a long time. And Billy was involved in the school system. And I guess when you look back at past years and you start talking about Jessamine County schools, there are certain names that come to mind. For instance, if you talk administration, you can't help but think about Hattie Warner and C.R. Hager and Buddy Adams. And you talk about teachers and you think about those great teachers that was out there, from Maddie Glass to Miss Watts and on down the line. But then you talk about coaches. And anytime you mention coaches, there are two or three names that always surface. One of them is Elmer Stevenson, one of them is Bill Maxwell, and one of them is Billy Lockridge. And there always seems to be affiliated with coaching. But Billy did more than that. He was involved in a lot of things. So that's what we want to talk about today. So if you would, let's start by talking about Billy, where he was born, how he even got to Jessamine County to start with.
Well, Bill was born in Montgomery County, and he was the oldest son of Mamie Williams and L.D. Lockridge. Mm-hmm. He had a brother that they always called Lum. His name was Robert, but they called him Lum. But he was quite a bit younger than Bill. He came to Jessamine County as Miss Hattie hired him, in fact, mm-hmm. to be the truant officer at the Nicholasville High School and to coach. And so when he came here to coach, I've heard him say they had no equipment mm-hmm. to speak of or anything. They did have maybe the first football games the first year, which I didn't really know him very well then, was, I think they call it the Evans Field over by the railroad track. Mm-hmm. Then after that, they had one over on 4th Street, mm-hmm. the end of Broadway.
Well, the one you speak about, the first one, is that down probably off of 3rd Street, down where Glenn Young's nursery
yes.
is, down
mm-hmm.
in Flynn Lane,
mm-hmm.
down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second one you speak about, is that over by what they used to call, was it the Chandler Building, in that area,
well,
by Nicksville Elementary?
The 4th grade building, uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah.
They
so there's it. Where the fields were when he started.
Yeah, yeah. And it went down hill, and I remember the boys always liked to get the second if they couldn't wait for their half,
right,
where they could go
downhill instead of uphill. That makes sense. Well, you know, we were talking about him coming here before he came here, from Miss Hattie hired him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was Transylvania, is that correct?
Yes.
Now,
and they had
a
football team.
Well, I started to say, I'm assuming mm-hmm. he played sports
yes,
in his youth.
Yes, he did. This is before the war,
uh-huh.
and he had a scholarship with basketball and football.
With both,
mm-hmm.
and that was at Transylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before even that, did he serve in the military?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So he was
well, after he went to school right. for a while. His mother had kept some clippings of the ball games mm-hmm. and basketball at Transylvania mm-hmm. when Bill played. And my boys got the biggest kick out of it because the final scores would be like 17-18-9. That'd be the final score.
Basketball score.
Yeah, it might have been more than that, but it was,
but,
you know.
Very low.
Uh-huh. It was really low, and they just got the biggest kick out of that when they read it. I tell you, Frank Rose had been out at Providence. He hadn't been the truant officer, but he had been doing some coaching. Mm-hmm. And he gave that up when he left Providence. Mm-hmm. And his brother, he's the one that told Bill that there was an opening down here for a coach.
Now, when he came down here, mm-hmm. When he was hired in 46, was he out of Transylvania at that time?
No, he still was taking some classes.
Okay.
And in one class, that's this brother of Frank Rose, he was drawing some football plays. Uh-huh. And he saw him doing that and everything.
I see. Know?
And so he said, told him about it.
So he came down here and he went to school and mm-hmm. and went to school.
The first year.
He went to school as a student. He went to school as a teacher.
That's right.
And I understand that at that time he was the only male in the faculty.
Yeah, he was.
Out of all of them. And that was such a hard thing on him, I'm sure, at 26 years old.
He had to. One of his responsibilities was the restroom. He had to go in the boys' restroom and see to it that they weren't smoking or anything in there.
We're about 46, but when did you two meet? It couldn't have been too long after that.
Well, no. We probably met in 47, mm-hmm. and he was a friend of Bob's. They were in the same fraternity together, my brother Bob.
Bob's your brother, mm-hmm. right.
And
Was Elmer in that fraternity too?
Yes,
yeah,
he was.
Okay.
Uh-huh, they were all, and Buddy mm-hmm. Adams, mm-hmm. they were all mm-hmm. in the same fraternity. Bob introduced me one time to him, but I didn't pay much attention to him. He didn't pay much attention mm-hmm. to me. But then my first year of teaching, went to the Jessamine County teachers meeting mm-hmm. the first, mm-hmm. and Betty Jo Underwood, Betty Jo Martin, mm-hmm. she is now, but she was Miss Underwood's daughter, and she was with me, and so when we went in, we were not late, but it, you know, a lot of people were already there, mm-hmm. and there weren't many seats, and there was some seats right by him, and so we sat down by him because mm-hmm. I did know him, and mm-hmm. so we talked a little bit through the meeting, you know, how it started.
Now, I understand from some history I've read that you didn't have a very good first date.
No. He asked me out, and we went to another couple's house in Lexington, and then we were all going out. This girl came running in there, and she said, "Bill, honey, we've got to go home." And I thought, well, who in the world is that? And it was Lums, his brother's mm-hmm. girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She had been hunting him, had got word that his dad had died in the yard at the funeral home.
Yeah.
So they had to
get out.
Go.
So the first date wasn't very memorable.
No.
But about a year later, on Easter, it was memorable.
Well,
what happened that day?
Well, that day we got married.
You got married. And that was a happy day.
Yeah, it was.
A good Easter. Let's stop on Billy a minute and talk about your family, because your family, as you said, been here all your life and mm-hmm. very well known. And so let's talk about you for a little bit. Talk about when you were born and who your parents were. And I know what they did, but I want you to tell what they did and your brothers and
things. Well, I always tell everybody I was born in a poorhouse. and I was. My dad was a caretaker at the poorhouse, which is now, well, it's where the City County Park. Mm-hmm. So then after that, I don't know, but it wasn't long after that because we moved to the jail. He became jailer, and we moved to the jail when I was about 2.5 or 3. So I went from the poorhouse to
the jail.
Now I'm still in the poorhouse.
Well, at least you're not in jail, though, right?
Yeah. Of course, the Depression came along, and I remember Daddy, he was in the group that was the first state police.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. I don't know how long he did that. I guess about a year or so. But I thought he looked so handsome in his, the head kind of Jodhpur type pants and his hat and everything. Well, he hated those. And he had to be away from home some, and he didn't like that. He never did like to be away. He didn't last long at that. I can remember when President Roosevelt came to Harrodsburg one time to speak, and we went over there with somebody. I don't, Mother and I did, and I don't remember who we went with, but Daddy was, that was one of his jobs to guard the, help guard the president. Wow. You know.
Now, after that, he went on to do what?
He did different things. He was in insurance for a while. When he was in the insurance business, we did move to Frankfurt for just, we stayed there about three, when I was in second grade, and we stayed there about 3 or 4 months, and none of us liked it, and we were all homesick for Jessamine County, and we came back home. So then Dad got into the real estate business.
Well, now you said we didn't like Frankfurt, so we're not just talking about you and Russell. We're talking about the whole bunch. So let's talk about your mom.
I got the measles swallows over there. That's one reason I didn't like it.
Talk about your mother, Miss Mary Lou. She's from here, too.
Yes,
I mean, there's a big family. Yeah. She was a Peel.
She was a Peel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she had how many kids? You? Let's talk about your siblings.
Well, she had me, and she had two brothers, Bob and George from Peel.
I guess all of you were in this county for all your lives, is that right?
Yes. Bob moved to, he married and he moved to Florida, and he's been down there. They have two daughters, he and his wife.
Yeah.
George stayed here all the time.
Long time.
When they were in the service.
Right.
Of course, they had
to. You went to Jessamine County Schools.
Yes.
And I think the high school burn was at 42?
40.
Maybe right after Christmas. In the Christmas
41
break.
41 or 42.
Did you get to finish here? What happened there?
Well, after the school burned, we went to school in the courthouse for a while. And then after we went to the, I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks till they could find somewhere to put us. And they took the county kids to Wilmore. And that just left the city children to take care of. So we went to school at the Christian church, in the Sunday school rooms at the Christian church. And in the basement, we had study hall, you know, in the basement and everything. Wasn't a very good situation. So the next year, it really didn't seem like school.
Yeah.
So the next year, we didn't have a school yet. And a lot of my friends were going to U High in Lexington. So I went with them up there and graduated at U High, which is part of the training school for the University of Kentucky.
Which you later attended, after that.
Yes,
you attended UK.
Went right on to UK then.
And got your degree in?
Well, I went 2 years, and one that summer I worked at the Reinhardt Shoe Factory. I was Mr. Reinhardt's personal secretary. And I had been majoring in business at UK. Miss Carpenter called me, and she was the principal of the Hanley School that had burned, too. And so they had an opening for a first and second grade teacher, and she wanted to know if I would be interested. Well, I had never thought about teaching school, you know. But the more I thought about it, I thought I would like it. So at that time, you could get a certificate that would allow you to teach on with 2 years of college. It was an emergency certificate. And then I went back and I finished after that in the summers.
And got your degree.
Finished my degree.
So you actually got a degree from two schools.
Yeah. Then when we were in at Eastern, I got my master's while we were over there.
You all, at this time, were married. And Billy was still going to UK, trying to get all that finished up and doing a lot of stuff.
Measuring tobacco and running the softball.
All kinds of things. And you all, you were teaching. Came a time when you had to cut back because you got some little ones came along. Yeah. Tell us about your children.
Well, my oldest son is Rusty Lockridge. And he was born in 49.
Okay.
Then after he was born, about 4 years, had Buddy Lockridge. Mm-hmm. And he lived for about 2 years, and he died with trachea bronchitis. Mm. And then real soon after that, I had Jerry Lockridge. And then we were going to have another one. Then everybody hoped I'd have a girl, except we all wanted a boy.
One boy.
Rusty wanted one, and Bill did, and I did. So we had another little boy, which was Tom Lockridge.
Right. Start back with Rusty. What did Rusty do for his life? Does he do?
He's vice president of human resources, and he's with Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
He started out...
Bowling ball company? Brunswick?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. Now, they live out of state, is that right?
Yes, they live in Chicago.
What? Tell us about his family. We'll brag a little bit on grandkids here in a minute.
He has three children, two boys, and they had a daughter who was killed in an accident, automobile accident. Then they had another boy and girl after that. And then the oldest boy has he has a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a great grandson and a great granddaughter.
Yeah. Okay. What about Jerry? Let's move on to him.
Jerry lives in Los Angeles, and he works for a company called J&J Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And now he does. He worked for Starkist for a while, and he's lived in the Los Angeles area and been out there now for about 20 years.
Wow. And then Tom decided to stay home.
Yeah.
Tom is here.
He's here.
And as you mentioned, is our Commonwealth attorney.
Yeah.
Has been for quite a while. Him and Jenny have two kids?
Yeah, they have two, a boy and a girl, Sam and Maddie Lockridge.
Yeah.
And Jenny works for the school as a school nurse. She's a nurse.
So you got the three kids, and right about the time Tom was born, somewhere in that area, Billy elevated himself in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when he became the principal?
Uh-huh.
But at that time, it was Nicholasville High. It was not a Jessamine County High yet.
Right. And then it became the Jessamine County. They built a new school out here.
So when Nicholasville, and there was a school, high school in Wilmore, and then you had Dunbar, when those three consolidated, then he was the principal of Jessamine County.
He was the first principal of Jessamine County High.
That is, the building is now West Jessamine.
Right.
That's what it's called, although it's been expanded, but that's where it was on Wilmore Road. Now, he stayed there mid-60s, is that right?
I believe 66 is when we left.
And you went to Richmond. Now, that's where all the kids met up with all their future spouses.
Yeah.
Did he work in, he worked with Elmer, didn't he? Safety and transportation, things like that?
Elmer and them hadn't come over there yet, though.
But in that area, I remember when you all were there, it seemed like the safety and security, things like that.
Yeah.
Stayed over there until 76, I think. Does that sound right?
Yes.
But did you teach again over
there? I did. I taught at Madison Central and a couple of the elementary schools. Only thing I could teach in the high school was remedial reading, and I taught that for a while, and then they began kind of doing away with the remedial reading in the high school.
Yeah.
That was kind of tough because all my boys went to Model, and they were playing ball and over there then, and Madison Central, there was a rivalry there. I remember that well. We went, they beat them. That was great.
Now, you were in Richmond teaching at the time, and you just said earlier in our conversation, never gave a thought about teaching. Are you glad that your life went down that route?
Well, yes. I enjoyed it, and I had some kids I, loved and enjoyed having. And
it's a hard job.
Well, I don't think it's nearly as hard as it would be today.
Yeah. Now, he came back from Richmond, decided to come back home. and come back to Jessamine County. But Billy wasn't done. That wasn't retirement for him. No. Tell us what he did after that.
Well, he opened an office supply store here in Nicholasville, and then at what used to be Duncan's Menswear.
Right.
I loved it, but I was still teaching, and I couldn't work there. But Bill never did like it.
But he had to be the one to run it.
But he was the one that was running it. Now, there were some parts about it he didn't mind, but he really didn't enjoy it like I would have. And then after a few years, he worked for Bobby Sellers down at Ford Garage.
Keller Ford, yeah. Back in the early 80s, somebody, I assume, got the idea that, or maybe it was him, or maybe it was you, that he needed to run for mayor. How'd that all come around?
No, I'd had enough.
Well, you'd been involved in politics
really
all your life.
I don't know. I thought about that. I tried to think how that did, and I really don't know how that came about, to tell you the truth.
He was elected, though.
Yeah.
He was elected mayor of Nicholasville and served, and from what I remember, seemed like he really enjoyed that job.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that were at that time voting, he taught, or you taught, both of you.
Yeah,
I mean, you had a lot of students in this community at that time.
I had so many of his former students that would tell me how glad that they were that he was their principal, and they respected him, and they thought he was fair, and they might not have liked what they had to do, everything that they had to do, or something that he said to them, but they would comment about how fair he was and all. And I think he was.
And you know, when you just about anybody, if they're honest with themselves, when you look back over your life, most people would say that influence that they receive, other than maybe their parents, most all the time you will either hear the word coach or teacher. And in his case, it was both. And then going on to be principal and even mayor. But what do you think was his best attributes in those areas as his wife? And I know you're biased, and that's good, but what do you think Billy's best attributes were when it came to doing the job that he did?
Well, for one thing, he was a good organizer. And I remember this was before the time of the computers and stuff, you know.
Right.
He would fix make out the schedules for the kids, and then he would know whether this was going to work or whether that was going to work. I don't know how he did that. He just knew that in his head.
Yeah.
He was a pretty smart guy, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess that probably is the thing that kind of sticks out. And then he was pretty good about, he could do it in a way, like if somebody had skipped school, he would look at the thing, and he knew if there were two or three friends that were all three, you know, gone that day, he could kind of put two and two together, you know, and know what had happened, and he could manage that, and you know, and they couldn't get over that. How did he know we were together, you know?
Now, after he sold the supply store, was mayor, you finally got out of teaching, is that right?
Yes,
And
I retired a little early from that.
And went into realty for a while, real estate business.
Yeah.
Tell us about finally what happened, the eventual, when Billy passed.
Well, really, I didn't notice it. I guess, you know, when you live with it, you don't notice it like other people do. But I had a relative, some relatives that came to visit us, and the girl's husband noticed that he had a little limp, like, and I hadn't noticed it. Anyway, after that, he made Bill promise that he'd go to the doctor. Bill didn't like to go to the doctor. Anyway, we finally did. He went to the doctor, and the doctor made him an appointment, local doctor, and he made him an appointment with a neurologist. And we went up there, and the neurologist seemed to think that he'd had a slight stroke. So he wanted him to see his heart doc. Well, Bill had been to this man once before, so we called and made an appointment to see him. And the day that we went up to that doctor, he didn't, he was dragging along behind, sort of. And I went on walking up to the door, and I saw that that door was locked, and they were directing us to another door. Mm-hmm. So I started around to that other door, and I told him we had to go to the other door. All of a sudden, he started up these little, there were just two or three little steps there, and it had a railing, and he was holding on to the railing, but he fell. I couldn't get him up, and I went into the office, and a couple of the nurses and another man came out there and helped mm-hmm. get him up. One of them had red hair. I remember one of the nurses did. When when they got him up, he was kidding her and said something about, I never did trust a woman with red hair. And so they got a big kick out of him. So he was comical. Mm-hmm. He could get away with a lot of stuff. They called the ambulance because he couldn't stand on it and took him to the hospital. They x-rayed and he had a broken hip. So they admitted him. And then after they admitted him, there was just one infection after another after he had the surgery, and we'd think he was getting better and they were going to move him to Cardinal Hill, and then something else would flare up, and then he was up there a month, and then he passed away after that.
June the 8th. Mm-hmm. Be 24 years since Billy died.
Yeah.
It does not seem possible.
No, I know.
It's gone quick. You know, he's done a lot of things in his life.
Yeah.
He's done everything from being a husband and a dad to a teacher and a truant officer and a coach and a principal and a businessman and an elected mayor. If he were sitting here and I asked him, Billy, what do you think's your greatest accomplishment? What do you think he'd say?
Oh, my. I don't know. He was a good father. I give him a lot of credit. He was good with the boys, and he loved his home, and he loved his family and his friends. Mm. I think probably when all three of the schools were consolidated, that was a pretty big thing.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because Wilmore and Nicholasville never did get along, mm-hmm. And then, of course, Dunbar... that was a big thing at mm-hmm, that time mm-hmm. everywhere. I would say that was one of his biggest accomplishments.
Right. I'll ask you another what if.
Mm-hmm.
What if I were to tell him that after 24 years, people still remember him like they do? When discussions come around about people in our community and mm-hmm. and coaching and athletes, and you still have these people today that talk about the influence that he had. How do you think he'd respond?
I think he would be really pleased that they, if they remembered him, and if they remembered him as being good and fair. And
mm-hmm. Mary, thank you for being on our program.
Well, I'm so happy to be with you, and you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. It's easy when you have good people to interview.
Well, so. this wasn't very easy
for
me.
It makes it easy. Well, you have done
fine. I talk all the time, and yet when I know I've got that microphone in front of me, it's harder.
You did fine, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Great.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville, a different kind of automobile dealership.